This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tech for Good series, presented by Tata Consultancy Services.
Good morning. Welcome to Tech for Good, our ongoing series where we explore meaningful solutions to the many challenges facing our world while discussing the role of technology in achieving sustainability. So the fourth industrial revolution is changing the way we live, the way we work and communicate. As the world races to adapt to these transformations, is Malaysia keeping pace? Are we doing enough to journey towards digitalization and sustainable development? And are we on the right path in terms of ensuring that our youth of today stay relevant for future job markets? So on today's episode, I'm going to try and answer these questions and more with Haji Bacho Pilong. He's the Senior Vice President of Project Delivery and Technology at Petronas, and Zulaira Abubakar, the CEO of the Malaysian Research Accelerator for Tech and Innovation, or MRANTI. Welcome, both of you. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. How are you, Haji Bacho?
Thank you, Julia. It's a pleasure to be with you here today.
So let's get straight to it. We've been having these conversations for a while now, yeah? But for clarity's sake, let's set the stage. What is the fourth industrial revolution and how might it impact the future of work? Zulaira, you want to take this first?
So the fourth industrial revolution really is, I think if you were to simply put it, it's a fusion of technologies, right? Which is a blur line between physical, digital and sort of the biological spheres, where it's all blurred, right? Mm-hmm. So the fourth IR, we know how it first started. You know, you have water and steam power to mechanize productions. And then, of course, the second IR, where you have electric power that, you know, was used for mass production. And then came on board the digital revolution, which is the third IR. And right now, we're literally in the fourth revolution, which is basically merging all the previous revolutions. And they, like I said, a blurred lines between all of the technologies. And I think more importantly is to understand how it actually influences the connectedness of devices. So you usually would talk about it in two aspects. One, the Internet of Things and the Internet of Systems, right? Mm-hmm. So do you have the Internet of Things where you have devices that are connected through an intermediary, right? Which is data, internet. And of course, now we're talking about 5G, mm-hmm. which should probably accelerate that communication, right? Or the speed between the devices. The connected devices become that much more faster. And then you also have the Internet of Systems, right? Which is where the IoT itself becomes a network. Mm-hmm. And it makes things move faster. And, you know, you use that to make business decisions. So ultimately, that's for IR. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Haji Bacho, anything you wanted to add to that?
I think Zulaira mentioned very well as far as how you move, how you progress from IR1, which is very much our movement from relying into, from animals into steam and whatnot, and to where we are today. For me, in simplest term, is for IR4.0, it's about the convergence of the physical world and digital world. Mm-hmm. And how this will change the way we work, the way we live, and many aspects of us as a human, mm-hmm. and as a society.
And it's going to change everything, isn't it? Yeah. Including things like jobs, you know. And yeah. What sort of jobs do you think are most likely to be impacted by the fourth industrial revolution? Zulaira, you want to take that?
So there was this article that I was also reading about what sort of jobs are at the, you know, at risk, or, you know, at the top of the food chain in that sense. So you would imagine that it would be jobs that can be easily replaced by automation. So top of the list came out as food preparation. Second would be construction. Third would be cleaning. And fourth would be driving. Right. So naturally, you know, as you see the industries progressing towards autonomous vehicles, so that you can see their natural progressions. But if you see the first three, food prep, construction and cleaning, so you'd imagine that these are jobs that are easily digitized and digitalized, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where a lot of these services can actually be delivered digitally. You don't need a person to basically front or do the work for you. Right, a lot of it is already app-enabled, which is digitalized. So, I mean, we are seeing more and more of that transition. Mm-hmm. So, I guess the numbers are quite likely in the sense that these are the jobs that would be first replaced. But again, you would have the kind of jobs that would remain. And this would be mainly in those that kind of requires interaction. right? Yes. So the article was also interesting. It says that jobs that are unlikely to be replaced by robots would be politicians.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, if you're a politician, you're safe in that sense.
Security.
Your job is safe. So, I mean, jokes aside, you could relate that to jobs that require interpersonal relationships, management skills, EQ, you know, relationship building. So these are the jobs that will be here to stay. So management positions, CEOs, teachers, lecturers, right? So these are jobs that you would still require human intervention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, all right. And Haji Bacho, anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I think, you know, from the context of the industry, it's not just about the job replacement. It's also about how do we enhance the quality of our talents in this space of IR 4.0. So I'll give you some example. There are some interesting, you know, Zulera talked about replacement. You know, 50% of workers globally will require reskilling. Mm-hmm. Within the next 5 years, as the workforce automate faster than expected. I mean, this is some interesting statistic from Future of Job Report 2020 by WEF. And within my industry, oil and gas, even within my own outfit, we see the way the engineers work has to change.
Yes.
We are relying heavily on data.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect our engineer to be digitally literate. You know, we need to have what we call digital literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by doing that, by having that sort of skill set, you bring additional value to the organization. In term for us, running a plant, running an offshore installation, the plant will be better in terms of asset reliability, better in terms of HSE. We need to make sure people are safe in the work environment. And of course, end of the day is about margin, profitability. So, you know, if you think about it, we are now going through digital transformation, oil and gas as a whole, or energy space as a whole. And in Petronas, you know, we put up the so-called fundamental building blocks for digital growth in the area of connectivity, mm-hmm. in the area of cloud, security, data enablement, analytics. I mean, these are new job creation because of the requirement for digital literacy. And at the same time, we also need to modernize our governance, our work processes, business rules, so on and so forth.
Okay, all right. And, you know, looking at all of this, you know, there is a clear need to change. Do you think also that there is a growing mismatch between youth skills and employer needs right here in Malaysia? And if you do agree with that, what do students today need to do to stay relevant for future job markets?
So I don't think there's one straight answer to that. There would be a situation where you can actually find the match. But most often than not, we encounter a situation where there's a huge mismatch, also due to the readiness to face the industry,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think it's absolutely critical for any young talent to look at upskilling and in some instances, even reskilling. Right. So if you've learned a certain thing, a certain discipline, then there is a possibility that you would probably need to relearn to adapt to the ever changing industry. So I think, as Haji Bacho rightly mentioned, oil and gas as an industry is a very, very important contributor to the national GDP, and it is seeing its own evolution, right? So I think oil and gas is probably one of the most industries that you see a lot of technology interventions and technology use cases in oil and gas right now. So traditional oil and gas engineers would probably need to unlearn and relearn new skills to adapt to the fast-changing world,
mm-hmm.
right? Fast-changing oil and gas in itself. And that applies to all other industries.
Mm-hmm. And would you agree with what Zulaira just said?
Yeah, I mean, let me share you, apart from my job as a SVP for project delivery and technology, I'm also a chairman of UTP.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting. You know, I've been interacting with educators in the country, and you are very right, Julia, when you talk about the mismatch. What we observe, there is a real need for us to push to enhance greater interest and involvement in STEM.
Definitely.
That's one part.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly digital related, because there is a huge demand arising from this IR 4.0. you know, what we observe, and I've seen this myself, you know, I interact with many parents, is that there are many families insist on straight A's.
Yes.
Yeah, on straight, you know, my son got 10 straight A's. Oh. But as you dissect, they miss the core science, for instance. Yeah. They did not have the physics. Mm. They may have the chemistry, but somehow the basic, normally during my days when I was in school, you know, science stream, you must have maths and maths, physics, chemistry, and biology. Correct. This, you know, is a must subject, right? But nowadays, somehow the youngster, they got choice. And the alarming trend, which is worrying for me, in some campus, this is what I've read, you know, because of my current role at UTP, mm-hmm. there are some faculty, some engineering discipline does not have sufficient feedstock.
Oh, no.
Very worrying. Yeah. And I think we got to turn this around. I mean, there must be ways and means of how do we encourage our young, you know, our youngster in primary school to go into STEM, because they're going to be feedstock into science stream, hopefully, yeah. and become the future engineers, doctors, you know, to run the country and whatnot. So we need to address this right from the roots. So in the context of, you know, Petronas, we have our Petroscience, where we showcase some of those excitement coming from the world of science, the world of engineering.
Yeah.
And hopefully that will spur interest at a young age, you know, 7, 8, as they enter into primary school, and this will continue on. Technology as a whole, you know, like what you mentioned, is ever-changing, and we cannot be just people who are users of technology. Absolutely. We also need to have a meaningful role in terms of technology creation. As a nation, how innovative we are. How do we deploy technology to enhance quality of life? Mm-hmm. I talk about my industry, oil and gas. We deploy tons of technology that enhance safety, reliability, and of course, profitability of the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And yeah. I guess, you know, the next thing I would want to ask you is what sort of problems might arise? You know, what are some of the most pressing things that will come up if we fail to train the next generation of workers for the digitally driven economy?
So I actually can't agree more with what Haji Bashir just you know, explained. And he eloquently talked about the issues of STEM enculturation in that sense. I think it's an underlying issue. And we need to address this. We need more STEM talent, right? It's a global phenomenon. If you speak to any technology company, the first thing that they'll talk about is, I don't have enough tech talent. Where do I go for tech talent? Do we get it locally? Locally, there's also a scarcity for tech talent. And I think simply because there's also a need for these talents to be guided into meaningful opportunities when they get out, right? So there needs to be a good sort of feedback loop between the market, job creation, and creation of STEM talents in itself. Right. Yes, enculturation has to start from the very young age, but that sort of pipeline has to be built. Right, and the pipeline needs to be clear and steady, and so which is why I think as a government agency today, our clear mandate is to try and create more and more local companies, spin-offs. Right, so Haji Bashir also talked about being a producer nation mm-hmm. of technology. Mm-hmm. So essentially, how do you produce more technology talent? How do you produce more technologies that are locally made? It comes from the talent in itself, right? So we would be looking at R&Ds that are happening in the universities, finding a clear commercial pathway for them to come out and get to the market. But I think more importantly, we also need to create that awareness that, look, science, technology, and innovation is the way forward, mm-hmm. right? It is the future. And talent today, parents, talent, policymakers, government need to understand that you cannot run away from this thinking. Okay? Science is the future. Mm-hmm. Science is the future. So we have to align ourselves to moving in that direction and to look at science, technology, and innovation as a pathway to solving our greatest challenge for the country. All of the problems that we're facing today, economic challenges, societal challenges, climate change, all of this, science, technology, and innovation has the answer. So the more we create STEM talents and the more we actually push them in this direction, we would be creating solutions to our own problems, right? So yeah. I think this is basically the way forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Haji Bashir, anything you want to add?
Well, I think it goes without saying, without this capable talent pool, I'm afraid we cannot remain competitive as a nation. And it will be difficult for us to compete even with our neighboring countries.
Yes, yes. Absolutely, for sure.
It's tough, but this is the reality. And with the transformation triggered by IR 4.0, pushing towards digitally driven economy, we must have those talents to support the need of the industry. Mm-hmm. And if we fail to train the next generation for what is needed, the repercussions are very serious, you know, ranging from increased unemployment, greater income inequality, and essentially stunting, you know, our country progress, which at the same time affect our community's well-being.
Mm-hmm. Basically, we're just doing a complete disservice to us, to our country, to everyone's future, our children's future, pretty much as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now, Zulaira, if I can talk to you a little bit about Meranti. Yeah?
Sure.
I understand that you guys help accelerate a secure supply of innovation, as you were talking about, for Malaysia. And that's, of course, towards improving the lives of all Malaysians and uplifting our future, just what we were talking about. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so as I was alluding to earlier, our national mandate at this point is to look at creating a sustainable pathway for our local products, our local innovators, technologies. We've got many bright people in the academia, professionals, creative people around, right? So how do we then take their ideas and deliver impact? So we actually go by this tagline, ideas to impact.
Okay.
Right? So how do we actually create that impact for the country, which is absolutely critical? And it's also important that we also look at it from an inclusive perspective, because again, technology is ever changing, you know. We need to evolve accordingly. But at the same time, you also do not want certain segments of the society to be left behind simply because other parts of the society are moving 10 times faster.
Exactly.
So how do you then bridge that gap? So it's very important to devise programs and policies that would narrow the gap between those that have no exposure towards this sophisticated world, or as we, you know, look at it, of tech and innovation, for them to also have access to tech and innovation. And I think one very simple way is basically internet access.
Yes.
So internet access, broadband, data services to the most underserved areas, to areas where need exposure, right? Exposure is needed. So that's really one way, because through the internet, you deliver knowledge, you deliver services, you deliver the whole experience of digital and digitalization.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is first needed before they can start talking about autonomous drones or, you know, cars that can carry us or fly us from one location to the other location. I mean, jokes aside, I think first and foremost, you must be exposed to the very basic platform of digital, right? Which is really internet in that sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope that we will move in the direction where we would be first looking at it from an inclusivity perspective, because that's very important for us to move as a country together and no one gets left behind.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we saw in the pandemic, isn't it? That lack of access, that inequity that was happening.
Lack of access, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing we need to
that
do.
Is right.
Once we address that, there are so many great things can come once we've, you know, that fundamental issue has been sorted out.
Yeah.
Let's just head for a quick break. And when we come back, let's discuss how both Petronas and Meranti are thinking about IR 4.0 related upskilling programs. With me today are Haji Bacho Pilong. He's the Senior Vice President of Project Delivery and Technology at Petronas, and Zulaira Abubakar, the CEO of Meranti, or the Malaysian Research Accelerator for Technology and Innovation. It's another episode of Tech for Good, and we'll be back after this quick break. Keep it right here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Tech for Good series, presented by Tata Consultancy Services. Tech for Good series, presented by Tata Consultancy Services.
Welcome back. I'm Julia Jacobs, and this is Tech for Good, our ongoing series where we explore meaningful solutions to the many challenges facing our world while also looking at the role of technology in achieving sustainability. So today we're discussing IR 4.0, the fourth industrial revolution, and also the future of work. And my lovely guests are Haji Bacho-Pilong, the Senior Vice President of Project Delivery and Technology at Petronas, and Zulaira Abubakar, the CEO of the Malaysian Research Accelerator for Technology and Innovation, or MRANTI. And, you know, guys, before the break, we were discussing what might happen if we fail to train the next generation of workers for the digitally driven economy. Now, you know, for both MRANTI and Petronas, how are you thinking about IR 4.0 upskilling programs, you know, as part of your future strategy? Haji Bacho, can we start with you?
Well, when we started off this digital transformation, and one of the challenges we had was, how do we get good data scientists? Uh-huh. How do we get good cybersecurity specialists? How do we get these UI UX engineers, right? Mm-hmm. And from there, we embark on upskilling in this digital space. We must democratize, mm-hmm. you know, those programs, and we have our own digital academy. So within the group in Petronas, we have about 12,000 of our employees have participated in this program.
Wonderful.
Basically, you know, citizen analytics, for instance. And these are, you know, the sort of capability you need in terms of responding to the industrial Internet of Things, IoT, to AI, and also to big data analytics. And also we respond to the call by MyDigital, right, mm-hmm. for collaboration with the government and Microsoft in particular. How do we make these upskilling programs, you know, more open, and how do we create conducive learning environment to strengthen digital literacy mm-hmm. and supporting Malaysia's aspiration to become a regional lead in digital economy. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy, Julia, to share with you, this is our latest program in Sabah, what we call a Be Digital Bootcamp, mm-hmm. Which was first conducted in Kota Kinabalu back in March.
Okay.
And, you know, when we designed this program, what we are trying to address was, how can we enhance the employability of Malaysian talent, young Malaysian talent? And digital was an obvious option.
Of course. You know,
we look at it from that perspective. So the bootcamp was designed with a key goal of enhancing young Malaysian talent's employability before they go into the workforce. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, the first cohort, 18 of them, small success, but it's a good beginning.
Yes.
In terms of how do we launch mm-hmm. in the next programs beyond Sabah, Sarawak, and the rest of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. how, you know, this so-called upskilling program within Petronas.
Okay, so it's Be Digital is like, it's a small little one, but it's had great impact, you would say, yeah?
Right.
Okay, just very quickly, you know, I just want to ask Zulaira about MRANTI, and like, how are you guys upskilling or thinking about upskilling, you know, in terms of IR 4.0 programs for your cohort, for your team?
Okay, so upskilling is one of the many things that we are currently addressing. So as I mentioned earlier, one way we are also looking to upskill is to provide the opportunity for our local talents to be part of these bigger spin-offs, right? Sure. And on a broader strategic level, we provide our talents with an environment, right? So now with the merger of TPM and MAGIC, we bring content and infrastructure together. So we've got this 3P approach, which is park, program and partnerships.
Okay.
And then we have other interventions to help them grow. So this upskilling will be this overarching agenda, obviously. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we also receive support and grants by the government to be spent on upgrading and creating this environment and facility that necessitates the growth at the park in itself. We would have, say, testing facilities, R&D centres, labs, basically to grow certain sectors or clusters of technology. So some of the clusters that we're currently working on are, of course, drone technology. We've got healthcare. And, of course, we will be looking at agriculture, because that is an ever-growing space at this point, and we are facing a bit of a, you know, food crisis at the moment. So, and that would make you realize that innovation in agriculture is really absolutely integral at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to think about, you know, we need to forecast what the problems are going to be.
That is right.
We need to address those gaps now.
That is right.
Right now. We should have done it maybe 10 years ago. Who knows? But yes,
never too late to start.
I mean, and it's wonderful to hear that wonderful marriage that's happening, you know, between Magic and TPM and all of that, bringing it all together. And I just want to go back to the inaugural Be Digital Bootcamp, Haji Bacho.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it was held in Kota Kinabalu. I know actually that place has a special place in both your hearts. Isn't it actually Sabah KK? Tell me a little bit about that.
We leave that in the last bit. I want to talk about this boot camp because it is close to my heart. And
all right, tell me about the boot camp.
You know, we mooted the idea back in it was in December last year, and I gave the team like 2 months, 3 months. You know, come out with a program and launch it.
Mm.
So the first bootcamp was in UMS, University of Malaysia Sabah. We had about 18 students. And the camper, we call them campers, right?
Okay.
Because this is a bootcamp.
Yeah.
So the campers share, this is the feedback. The two-week session give them a better insight in terms of the working world in a digital environment.
Mm.
That's one. And also in terms of enhancing their self-confidence. They were taught presentation skill, soft skill and whatnot. And of course, learning how to better collaborate as a team. So this is the sort of curriculum, you know, we try to launch during the bootcamp. It was a very intensive program who pays the concept of data science, design thinking, entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this is a space where in no time, if you have some great ideas, you can launch a business.
Yeah, sure.
And of course, the soft skill in the work reality, you know, for instance, how do you sell an idea? So we have a Shark Tank. And that polish and sharpen the ability to sell an ideas, absolutely, getting funding, and hopefully launch a business.
Mm.
Small 18 folks, and alhamdulillah, half of them get a job, even while still pursuing the degree. These are final year students. They are, one more semester to go.
Okay.
So it was a very very enriching experience to them and also to us when we designed the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the balance, half get a job with Petronas, the balance will be absorbed by some of our partners as well. So this is quite an encouraging, of course, one of them is TCS.
Of course, yeah. So very many positive outcomes, you would say, from this boot camp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're launching one more in August.
Tell me about that.
Nice.
Well, similar, but this time around, going to be wider. Mm-hmm. Instead of just focusing on UMS, University of Malaysia Sabah, mm-hmm, we open up. There are a couple of higher institutions. We have UTM, UITM, and I think there's one more Sabah University as well. So we open up to more audience and participants.
And that's so important, you know, for all of us, you know, who've been to university, you know, having corporations come in, having them do these sorts of programs for us, so helpful, you know, it really helps us prepare. And Shark Tank, all of us may have the knowledge, but if you can't present that knowledge,
right,
it's no point, isn't it? So all of these sorts of, you know, very cohesive, very multifaceted sort of programs, really, really helpful for students.
One of the challenges with our engineers sometimes, you know, you are a great engineer, but you can sell. You must be able to sell ideas. Right. End of the day, it's about selling the idea, right?
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And for you, Zulaira, how can Ranti actually be a catalyst, a connector, collaborator, I suppose, as well, you know, in programs such as the Be Digital Bootcamp to bring Malaysia into the future of technological innovation?
Okay. So I think many would know, Magic, we ran our own programs. We have boot camps. We did the accelerator program. So it's something that we have always believed in the sense that those programs really, really help entrepreneurs grow. And as Haji Bacho rightly mentioned, they require assistance to sort of give them the confidence that they need to go out to the market, right?
Yes.
So it's the guidance that's required and connecting them to the right partners. It's very, very important. So what we do is that we provide that platform. So when you come in, you hone your skills, you sharpen them, you meet the right people, and you go out.
Mm.
All right. So we would help you through that process. And we continue to do that even under Ranti. Of course, we have got the Magic team that would be running these programs. But like I said, in all of these programs, what Petronas is doing, what we're doing, they're all complementary to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to work with one another in the sense that sometimes they offer programs that target different stages of the company. So they could be a serial boot campers. So they come to us, they finish their stage, and then they go to Petronas. And of course, Petronas has the, you know, advantage because Petronas is a huge entity with interests across multiple disciplines. So for a entity or for a small entity, a startup, being launched by Petronas is a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we could help sharpen them, but then we send them to Petronas to take them further, to let them fly.
Yep.
So I guess we always look at partnerships like this as complementary as opposed to competing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's excellent because I think that's what we need, isn't it? Yeah. More and more of us are collaborating, connecting,
that is right.
All of that
that,
that
is
you,
right.
you just mentioned. And I guess, you know, before I let the both of you go, I think we can all agree that effective transformation can be attained through building the capacity of the marginalized. So what do you both think, you know, inclusive transformation requires, especially when targeting youths? How can we tackle this together as a nation? Haji Bacho, you want to start first?
Now I'll respond to the story of Sabah.
Tell me your Sabah
yes.
story.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm a strong believer in the power of education. You know, I grew up in the island of Pulau Sebatik. Mm-hmm. This is the southeast side of Sabah. And interestingly, the island is half Malaysia on the northern side and half Indonesia on the southern side.
Okay.
It's a straight line. I am from the northern side, of course.
Okay.
My parents place a very important emphasis on education, despite of being illiterate, both of them.
Mm.
And I think the break was really because of Petronas scholarship. Somehow they found me in my little island and offered a scholarship for my secondary school in the city of Tawau. I went to the boarding school in Tawau, get a good education, and subsequently was offered a scholarship to the States, to the US.
Wonderful.
That's where I get my chemical engineering degree.
Right.
So inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a scholarship. Sure. And for me, those are the pivotal moments in my life that transform and change where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without those, I'm not sure. I could be still stuck in the island. And I'm sure many others as well. I mean, you know, you mentioned about the marginalized, you know, those are not so fortunate. I think given the chance, they also could make a big difference in their life and the lives of others surrounding them. So I really believe in giving people opportunities. Anybody can go far in life if you give them the right environment, the right opportunities. I mean, this is a personal journey I've been through. And secondly, I think for the younger talent, what's important, they must seize the moment. You know, people are given opportunity come and go, but those who grab it and seize the moment are those who will go far in life. So I think for the younger talent out there, you know, listening to this talk, please seize the moment. Opportunity does not come that often. And on a larger context, I think what we need as a nation, I think we need to build a robust ecosystem starting from education. And I'm glad, you know, we have Zulaira from Ranti as well, which talk about technology. I do have my own outfit within Petronas focused on technology. And how do we build, we talk about digital ecosystem, right? How do we build digital ecosystem coming from all those suppliers, vendors that support the need for the nation?
Yeah.
I think that's one bit. The other bit is also in terms of policies. Maybe later on, Zulaira, you can talk about it. In terms of policies and stimulants that give support for the digital player within and also from outside Malaysia so that everyone can progress together and benefiting from this IR 4.0. Mm-hmm. Nobody should be left behind. For this, I think let's be clear about it. Petronas, we cannot do this alone. Despite of those massive resources we have, I personally involved in rallying collaboration with academia. Academia in Malaysia, we have what we call CHESS program.
Mm.
I'm also called for collaboration, cross-industry partnership, policymakers, startups, and society at large. I hope we should be able to create an ecosystem that is holistically advance towards our common goal, in particular with the challenge of this energy transition, befitting where we are today with IR 4.0 and beyond. So with this opportunity, I believe collaborating as an ecosystem is the way to go forward. And hopefully, with this collaboration approach, as a nation, we should be able to overcome those challenges. I mean, like what you say just now, we should combine our strength. We are not competing, we are complementing. We should look at the resources we have and create an inclusive transformation. And looking into the need of different groups, the youth, the marginalized, and providing everyone with equal opportunities. And for us in Petronas, we want to live up to our statement of purpose. We are progressive energy and solution partner enriching life for a sustainable future.
Thank you, Haji Bashir. And Azulaira, how about for you? How do you feel about this?
Well, that was so inspiring.
I know, yes.
Thank you for that. So, I mean, I think, Haji Bashir, I think he's sort of encapsulated so well. But maybe I'd just like to echo to say that education is a very, very powerful tool to social mobility. Mm. And we're talking about IR4. Yes, it is important that no one gets left behind. But I think first and foremost, it's important that we give everyone access to education, first and foremost. As you rightly mentioned, Haji Bashir rightly mentioned, that his biggest break in life was that access to education.
Yeah.
And that has led him to where he is today, helming such an important organization, delivering such an important mandate and true to his purpose. And similarly, I have, I've been a little bit more fortunate that, I got into better schools. I'm Budak Bandar lah. I went to school in Kota Kinabalu. So, yeah, but it was great because you see all walks of society. Mm. But again, education was absolutely critical for me as well. Yeah. And I only wish that more and more underserved community have equal access to education. When we can tackle that effectively, I believe IR4 will be within our reach. Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today.
Thank you, Julia. It's a pleasure to be part of this conversation.
I've been speaking to Haji Bashir Pilong, Senior Vice President of Project Delivery and Technology at Petronas, and Zulaira Abubakar, the CEO of Meranti, or the Malaysian Research Accelerator for Tech and Innovation. If you miss any part of our conversation, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Tech for Good on BFM 89.9.
Tech for Good series was presented by Tata Consultancy Services, building on belief.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.